This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the cliffcentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Sex Talk is brought to you by Reba Pharmaceutics, your online intimacy store.
Sex Talk on cliffcentral.com. I am John T. Searle, and I am in the studio with Tamar, and I love being here with you.
Love being with you, my darling.
And good friends, special people. They're gorgeous, and they're smart, and they say cool things, and they make it possible for us to be here this morning.
How wonderful.
Hello, Brody.
How's it, John T.?
And Shane is here.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me back. Love it.
Tomorrow.
Oh, good.
You know, I always say to people, because when people say, thanks for having me, it's like my standard response has always been, well, I haven't in the biblical sense yet.
Yeah, well, let's not go there. Thank you for sharing this wonderful moment and
always
experience
makes
me with
chuckle.
Me.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had lots of fun last week talking about male sexuality.
Yeah.
And that was really, really cool. And we got some cool comments from you guys, so thank you for that. We really do appreciate it. Mm. And you know, for so many men, there is still such a stigma about sexual problems and sexual issues. And I see this almost every day. And there's probably not a week that goes past that I don't get a phone call or an email from someone saying, how do I get him there? And it's not that the problems are only men. We need to be very clear on that. But for men, it is so much harder to do something about them. And there's no formula for it, because if I had a formula, I probably wouldn't cope with the amount of business that I get from it, which would be quite cool as well. But the bottom line of it is, for a man, your life can be so different if you're willing to take that step. Mm. And just come have one conversation. So much can change from that. And the pleasure, the intimacy, the connection you can have in your relationship is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And it's so, so important, because I see relationships, again, almost every week that end. And a lot of times it never has to be that way.
It's almost depressing, but it's really not. It's just facing the truth. So you need to face the truth. You need to wake up in the morning, and you can do it every day as a choice. So you can wake up in the morning and decide that you don't want to live in a lie anymore. You really want just to have better sex. You want to have more intimacy. You want to have more fun. Yes, of course, it involves to give up the image and change patterns, which we just spoke about. It's really difficult, but it's so possible. And there's nothing that you gain in life which is easy. Nothing.
I think it was also goes back to, I said last week, that they say love is a choice, that you wake up and you make that choice. So I also feel like with, you know, wanting to improve your sex life and stuff, even if you're tired or even if something's not right or even if you're not comfortable, it's honestly about saying, okay, I'm going to choose to actually work on this, to grow my intimacy with my partner.
That's what it is. Okay, so enough of all the serious stuff, because that's very serious.
Yeah, we still like relax.
My train of thought there.
Plus, when you're going to have better sex, you're going to have so much fun, so come do it. Just
now we're going to distract you even more.
Oh, yeah. So what you were plotting something.
So what we decided to do was, and we do this about, we've done it once or twice a year, and it's a really fantastic show, is a Q&A show, which means we asked you guys to send in some questions, things that you always wanted to ask about sex and never did. And you sent in some really cool and interesting things that we are going to answer. Yes.
Very exciting.
And we're going to see how smart you guys are.
So. Oh, yeah. And then I'm going to add my Q&A, because last night I did try Brody's wonderful supplements, and I would love to share my
brilliant
feedback.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it's a positive one, so there's something to wait for.
Cool. Yeah. Does the story end in Tamar fashion? What's your last
and
story?
And then she orgasms.
There we go.
Well, multiple times now. But definitely we'll chat about that. And John, do you remember in one of the expos, one of the expo for sexuality, we were together, we opened like a email box for people to write their fantasies and questions. Oh, my God, when you ask people what are their fantasies anonymously and Q&As, John T and I just chuckled and giggled and burst out laughing from stilettos.
Oh my goodness.
I don't want to say harsh things, but I am going to. Like stiletto raping.
Really?
Of a guy's beautiful asshole. Anyway, there was a lot of things. So let's see what the Q&A has brought today.
Yeah. So just as a by the by, if you are going to stick a stiletto heel up someone's butt, firstly, make sure that it's really, really clean, that you're sterilized.
With a condom.
That's it. And put a condom on and put lots of lube.
Yeah, no, don't, you've just got don't the perfect lead for that too.
It's a fantasy.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So our first question came from, and this was really interesting, came from a lesbian couple.
Okay.
And one of the partners, let us call them Sarah and Annie, and Sarah is the squirter.
Okay.
Sarah squirter. She always makes me chuckle a little bit because there is a series of books that I really love by a guy called Christopher Brookmeyer. He's a Scottish crime author. And there is a character in one of his books called Sarah Slaughter, who is a surgeon.
So now we have Sarah Squirter.
Sarah Squirter. So Sarah squirts, and Annie is unhappy with Sarah squirting. So in the beginning, it was this really cool novelty thing, and in the beginning, it was really, really exciting. Now it is happening every time they have sex. It only is not enjoying it because she doesn't know when it's happening. And Sarah's squirting has increased, so it's quite a copious amount of liquid, which it can be.
Ruin the sheets, guys.
Yeah. So the sheets are an issue. Not only the sheets, the mattress underneath the sheets. Yeah. And then Sarah said, well, why don't we just put a towel down? And then Annie says, well, that's not romantic anymore because we're not preparing for it. And all sorts of things around this.
Yeah,
and then Sarah said, well, I don't actually know when it's going to happen. And that's one of the causes of frustration.
Okay.
So there's quite a lot of issues there.
Yeah.
And the first thing is, if you are going to squirt, if you are squirting, if you're going to try squirting, and it's its own really long involved complex story, and we will talk about that in the future and do we've done it before, and we will do a whole guide to squirting, how to make yourself squirt, how to help your partner squirt, all of these things. The first thing is, you have to take the so-called romance out of a lot of these equations, because there is a level of practicality that is really, really important. Full stop. Towels are a must. Rubber sheet, even better. Mattress protector, even better. So get a few, put them under your sheet. You change everything.
Yeah.
It's really simple practice because it's uncomfortable, because this is not like a little wet spot.
I suppose the only other way to make it, you know, slightly more romantic is you can have a very pretty little towel thing next to the bed.
Yeah, but a pretty little towel doesn't when the woman squirts a liter, because it happens. Liter, 2 liters.
Tamara and I have seen and been involved in experiences where a liter was kind of the minimal.
Yeah.
Lovely.
That had gone like 6, 7, 8, 10 meters across a room.
Yeah.
So rubber sheets, towels, really, really important. Here's the thing, though, because this was the crux of their question.
Okay.
Was, if you don't know when this is going to happen, you need to kind of take a step back and you need to start exploring your body with a level of awareness that you start to be aware of the signs in your body leading up to this.
Yeah.
And if you focus on your body and you become conscious of what's happening, which means you almost have to have a learning experience.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily about pleasure. It's simply about, I'm doing this so I can be aware of, I'm starting to feel this in my hips, this is happening in my belly, this is happening in my yoni. And when you do that, you're going to start to become more aware of the signs of this.
Mm.
And you'll be able to tell your partner, now we're getting really close.
And if I can share from the squirter side, because I never knew how to squirt. And then slowly with John T and learning and with a partner that was actually happy about it and embraced it, I learned that the feeling, communicate the feeling of when you squirt, and it's really good. It's such a liberation. It's such an amazing release for a woman. So I'm sure that her lover, that Annie, would really appreciate and connect more to understanding the love for the squirting. Plus, you know, you can squirt when you're on all fours. You can squirt when you're standing and kneeling, or like just a bit bending your knees. You can go to the shower. You can have a bath together. You can have a major squirt in the bath because it's clean water. It's really not like piss, that people confuse it many times. So it's really, and it feels so good. I can't explain it to our male friends. I'm so sorry. But a woman that learns to squirt is a woman that can have a spiritual experience from that. And I'm like the last person to say, oh, I had such a spiritual experience. Your whole body energy changes. You just have a flow of emotions, of feelings. And it's an emotional therapy.
Mm.
So I'm sure, Annie, if you're listening, embrace Sarah's squirting. It's definitely something she's doing because it's something that helps her release, to embrace her sexuality with you. It's not something that is, you know, to spite. And I know that because yesterday when I made, you know, a problem, a coconut oil was spilling on the bed. And I just told Shane, I was like, oh, usually my normal me will go, oh, let me go clean it in this. I said, Tamar, just let it go. It's a bit messy. We'll wash it. There's amazing things these days. I think Brody's tablets were helping me, I must say. I felt a bit like in the zone. So I was just like, you know, let it go. We all the time are here in the OCD.
Yes, in the head.
And we have to get out. And it's helping, I must say. So Annie and Sarah, we wish you really best of luck.
If I can just mention, in a previous sexpo, we had a customer come up to us and she said that she'd been using the MSS female tablets. And she'd always wanted to experience, you know, being able to squirt. And she said once she took the tablet, it's not because she did anything specific, but it just happened for her. And every single time after that, she's taken the tablet.
I'll give you a spoiler. Yesterday, that didn't happen for me, but I felt it because I know how it feels when I'm about to squirt. And I even told my husband, I said, sure, I'm in the zone. I can feel it coming, like we didn't go that alley. But I said, wow, it's actually there. So I get what you're saying. I could feel it in my body.
I wanted to ask, maybe since we're talking about the squirting, I mean, some women obviously don't know the feeling in the body. Is there a different feeling in terms of how your body feels when you're going to squirt versus when you're having an orgasm?
Absolutely.
Possibly, I don't know if there's something with that that you could maybe explain.
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Something
totally
different.
Yeah. As a woman, it's totally different.
Yeah.
It's
And that's why it's a complex issue, you know. And
in order to communicate that.
And learning how to do this and what's involved in it. So we will do a whole show on it.
I'll call it a squirting as an emotional orgasm or a spiritual orgasm. Yeah. It's like
more
that.
Intense. Okay.
But every woman is different, I'm sure. And sometimes a squirt can be short and sweet and it can be really huge release. So I don't like to put anything in boxes.
Mm.
So I'm just going to stop there and say, have your own experience. Go for it. It's beautiful. It's unbelievable, actually. And we're conditioned. It's pee. It's disgusting. You know, women shouldn't have. Why should men have ejaculation and women shouldn't? It just doesn't make sense. Why? Because you're not used to it. It's beautiful and it cleans you up. You feel you can't believe where these liquids came from. It's really, because I can be completely. I need to go to the loo to wee, and then I'll have a huge squirt, and then I have to go to the loo to wee. It has nothing to do to each other. So there's a lot of myth around it, and people don't believe. Try it yourself and just stop believing other people.
Yeah. Okay, Sarah and Annie, that's given you
a lot of
stuff to think about and to do, and that's really, really cool. If you have any more questions, please, please let us know, and we will help you.
Yeah.
Okay. The next question we got was an interesting one, especially as people are exploring more and they're becoming more open about their sexuality, and it was about strap-ons.
Okay.
So somebody wanted to know, she wants to buy a strap-on. So what is the best kind of strap-on to buy? How do you work this out?
Is it for her husband or for other women?
This is the interesting thing, is I haven't been able to find that out yet because that is a really good question to ask. Because as a generalization, I'm going to make a very generalized statement here. It might not apply to everybody.
Oops.
Is that... Oh, we put our foot in things lots. We're used to it.
We'll get hammered anyway.
That's it. So it doesn't really make any difference what we say. So if it's for a man, fair chance it's going to be a little bit smaller and a little bit narrower than if it's for a woman. So the way that you cover all of those bases is the attachment to the harness, the actual dildo part of this, get a few different...
Sizes
and thicknesses.
Yeah.
And that's the only way. So the thing about this is the only way that you really know how good something is for you and how it feels is through experimenting.
Yeah. Mm.
The problem is you can't go into a sex shop and say,
hello,
so can I just bend my partner over and we just test and see how this works for a bit?
Well, you could, but it might not go down very well.
Might be the last time you visit the shop.
Yeah. You have to try some different things. The important thing is if the harness that you use is of good quality.
Yeah.
And the only way to say this is that you generally get what you pay for.
True.
In terms of
sex
toys.
What I want to say. Well done, John.
That spend the money on it, because if you're getting something that is good quality, it is likely to work better, do its job better,
and
it's going to last longer.
Yeah.
So spend good quality, spend the money, and get something that is good quality.
Absolutely.
And if the harness is really firm on your hips, that's when you're going to have the most control.
Yeah.
And I remember a particular night where somebody I know and love for the first time had sex with another woman with a strap on. And she came to me afterwards and she said, just like this, fuck, I have so much more respect for men when it comes to sex now, because you have no idea how hard that was.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm sure the men really appreciated that, actually.
Plus, for women, I do recommend a double-sided if you want to have the option of double-sided, because it's, I don't know, when I had experiences with strap-ons, and I had a few wonderful and weird ones, I must say the strap-on sensation of fucking someone, it feels a bit detached sometimes because we don't have a cock and there's no nerve endings and so on. So, of course, the connection is important, and don't go crazy. Like, even women sometimes have this fetish of, like, I'm going to fuck someone.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to do it. And you don't know which angle is really good for a woman or for a man. So start with easy and slow, lots of lube, and have a really nice grip with the harness. That's what John T was saying, the most important thing. Have good quality stuff you can clean after. So whatever happens, whichever part of the body you use, whichever entrance, if you have multiple partners, it's really, really important. And you know what, guys? It's amazing, but guys have this fascination about women fucking another woman. But yeah, I must tell you, there's something unbelievable. If you'll be willing one day to go to the place that you give your man with a prostate to beautiful, small, or however big it should be, a dildo experience, because you can actually, female and male energy, you can balance them out.
So. And the intensity of that and the emotion, and that's what makes it such a powerful experience, because for men that is such a vulnerable experience.
Absolutely.
And the emotion is what makes it so intense, beyond the physical.
Yeah.
And sharing that with a partner is incredible. The trust, the communication, the intimacy of the experience, the gentleness, it is such a beautiful experience.
Because we do it with the fingers. Yeah. You know, many men like the stimulation. Yeah. We do it with a little toy.
So when a woman puts a strap on and has anal sex with a man, the word for that is?
I forgot.
I don't know.
Pegging.
Right.
Oh. Pegging.
Pegging. That's what it's called. Pegging.
Oh, there we go. A little reminder. We used to have always a word from the dictionary.
Yes,
sexual dictionary.
Right.
So now
word of the day.
Pegging.
Pegging
is the word of the day.
Pegging. So now I think we made a good mind fuck for some of our listeners. A man is going like, I'm not going to let my woman near me with that stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Again,
good quality material.
To,
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
That you can clean,
and that's really
aesthetic,
so important.
Hygienic.
And then a lot of it is really, it's communication. And that's vital. To talk
willingness
about.
Willingness to experience.
Yeah. How the experience is going to work. What is it that you're going to do? And then start really, really slowly. And breathe. Breathe, 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 breathe. Because as soon as you're not breathing, everything contracts.
Yeah. And
keep
wouldn't
breathing.
I mean, I think good lube, guys. Like,
oh,
I've learned that you don't buy cheap lube.
No,
because it's
no.
Just,
the same thing.
Oh my
cheap
God,
lube
no.
is terrible,
you have
so
to
don't
get
buy cheap
a decent,
and you need to know which toy goes
lube.
With which lube. Some toys can't go, like condoms can't go with some specific lubes. Coconut oil is not good for condoms as much as we love coconut oils.
Yeah.
It's healthy for you. You need to look at silicone.
So again, spend
and stuff,
some time.
Yeah, guys, you have to, especially
your
with
lube.
And it will change your experience, because women and men will respond to your touch 10 times better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It just feels
really
so
important.
Good with lube.
So that's a really
good lube.
Really
good
good
lube.
I mean,
good
basically,
lube.
Also, I mean, in terms of lubes, any oil-based lube you can't use on a condom.
That's true.
No.
Yeah.
And most of the creams that people often want to throw in.
Yeah, do not do it.
Yeah.
Do not
full
do
stop.
It. Yeah,
so
just use a water-based lube.
Yeah.
Here is John T's general lube advice. Very simple. The plainer the product, the better it is for your body, which means the less chemicals it has in, the better it is for your body. And you want something that is going to stay on the skin and not go into your skin. So something that you need to keep applying every few minutes is not good. Stay away from things that taste or smell like fruit salad. Stay away from things that get hot, things that get cold, things that promise you moon rockets and sparkles and all sorts of things like that because they all have a lot of chemicals in.
I thought it was maybe just me, but like when they would, you know, I by accident bought this tingle thing once and I thought, oh my gosh, this is the most horrible experience I had.
It's
and I thought maybe
it makes infections.
Oh God, no.
You know what, guys? Buy the kilogram. Stop buying this tiny little loops of water-based jelly.
Just buy industrial-sized tubs.
Buy a lot. Keep it next to your bed. Stop thinking it's a once-in-a-while thing. Every touch should start with a lube.
The more lube that you have, you can't. It's very rare that you can have too much lube.
Yeah.
Well, everything I mean, we sell a product called Luxure Lube, and the biggest online store in South Africa. I won't mention the name.
Yeah.
But they stock our products, and quite a few ladies have actually stated on there in terms of reviews that our product is not sticky. And
that's one of the few ones. Samples.
Definitely.
Okay. So we can test it out.
Okay, done.
Next question. There
we go. Okay.
Done.
Okay. This was a really good question. How do you introduce to your partner the conversation that you would like to try something different, like you'd like to add something to your relationship, like a toy, if you have never tried that before, a sexual stimulant, something that you've never done.
Yeah.
And
even sometimes it starts with the position.
Yeah.
Mm. Always done missionary or porn.
Yeah. Kind of. How do you do that in a way that's safe? Because when a lot of people do that, immediately the first reaction from a lot of partners is that something's wrong.
Yeah.
You're not satisfied. Yeah. You're not happy.
Yeah.
And that becomes, instead of it being a possibility, it becomes a problem. So you need to approach this from a point of view of positivity and possibility, not problem. So if you start saying, you know, I'm really bored with the way we have sex, your partner is likely to either fold his or her arms, shout at you, walk out the room, say, you have two hands, you can use them all by yourself.
For the rest of your life.
Or all sorts of other things. So when you start a conversation like that, the best way to start it is to say, you know, I really enjoy the sex that we have. I love you. I love the pleasure that we have. And I would like to expand that.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then you start talking about what it is that you'd like to. And as soon as you start with that, you have a greater chance of that.
Second step is patience.
Mm.
The fact you got the courage or you want to change something is beautiful.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it's going to change overnight.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean your partner doesn't need to process it. You had this idea maybe for a year or two in your head. He needs or she needs now time.
Okay, so once you have opened the door to the conversation, and it does take courage, there's no question of that, and it is really important to acknowledge yourself for doing that, then it's so important to understand that you are opening a conversation. And the conversation, especially if your partner is resistant to something, needs patience. It needs compassion. It needs understanding. Because if you shut it down, and if you are saying, well, why don't you want to do this? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Then you have no chance of that happening.
Whatsoever.
But if there's compassion and if there's a communication, then you start to understand a little bit more of why is this scary for your partner?
Mm.
Why does this challenge them so much? Because maybe that goes against a religious belief, against a family belief, against so many things.
Moral belief.
So, it doesn't necessarily mean that the answer is no. It simply says, let's open the conversation. It is also really important to understand that everybody has what we call hard limits, which means there are things that they will not do and boundaries that they will not go beyond. And if your partner gives a really firm no, you have to respect that.
From my journey, I can share, if you feel disgust or it hurts your, like it goes to the gut and you feel the shame or you feel horrible because, then you have to question, where is it coming from?
Maybe
it's my, and a lot of things that I said to my partner that I feel really weird about it, I don't like it, I actually was because of my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't think about it before. Because, and actually, interesting enough, that's where, when I met Jonty for the first time, it was when he was doing a sensual bondage massage.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing the sensual part, and another colleague of his was doing the bondage part. And I was between aroused to vomiting all the time. More vomiting, I must say. I was like, oh, this is weird, and But then I had to ask myself, why all these emotions are coming up in these feelings? And I had to ask myself again and again, and these things are now the things I love the most, but it was righteous me, closed-minded me. It was the Tamar's a good girl me. It was that good girls don't do that. It was all those things that said, oh, that's just unnecessary.
Mm.
But actually, when I looked at it, I said, look how she's having fun, that woman that was on stage. Look at all the attention. Look at all the beauty. Look at all the sensations she's going through. Things started changing. So, guys, girls and guys, please, when you're listening and your partner is expressing a desire or a wish, it's really okay to say no. And sometimes it really hits home. Like, it's a no. But it's also okay to respect your partner for what they've expressed and to sit with it and say, let me just sit and feel it. And maybe even just, just
and it opens the door to amazing discussions and amazing healing of ourselves. Because when we say no to something, it's important to look where inside of us is the no coming from. Mm. Just as important as it is to look at where the yes is coming from.
Mm,
because if yes is coming from, I just want to please you and make you happy, I want to keep the peace for so many other reasons, then that's not a healthy yes.
100%.
So where the yes and the no come from needs to be important, and that becomes an amazing opportunity for self-healing and self-growth as well as for your relationship.
I think it's also about finding the balance where, you know, as Tamar was saying, you know kind of, okay, where it is completely hard.
We don't talk about balance because balance is not...
rhythm.
Whereas
you actually said balance right at the beginning of the show, and I thought I was going to be rhythm.
So where's the rhythm?
Okay, so where the rhythm is... see, now I've lost my train of thought. Thank you very much.
So I'm going to explain that quickly and why it's important.
Tell us.
We've been convinced that life is about balance. And very often, balance is very rigid and balance is very precarious because you hold on to a lot of things like with a knife edge and there can't be too much movement. And that's impossible. Rhythm says that everything in life moves and everything changes. There's times I'm more turned on, there's times I'm less turned on. There's times I'm more loving, there's times I'm less loving. There's times I have more money, there's times I have less money. There's times I want more sex, there's times I want less sex. All of these different things. There's times I am more focused at work, there's times when I'm not. All of that stuff happens. So rhythm says we understand that there is change and we can flow with those different states and we can move instead of trying to hold on to something that is often just rigid and stiff. So, just a little bit of jaunty wisdom coming there.
No, it's okay. Balance but rhythm. Okay, guys, we work on the rhythm.
The rhythm
is quite important, actually. Like if you're tying somebody up, balance is quite important. Because it just feels so much better.
So it's about using the word balance in the correct perspective.
It. And, you know, if both arms or both legs kind of have the same tension, you can relax. Because if one arm is much tighter than the other one, it doesn't feel, and I can't relax into it. So
See, and then rhythm in that aspect.
The rhythm will be the caning.
Yes, exactly.
And certain sex positions require an enormous amount of balance and rhythm. There we go. So that's where we bring balance.
We'll talk about that in the group sex positions. Mm-hmm. There's so much you need to learn. You need to be fit. We'll talk about that.
This was a question that came from men and women.
Okay.
And it's very often when you're in a new relationship, you talk about the past.
That's always
an interesting thing because I knew somebody a while ago who said she went into a new relationship. And they made an agreement that they were not going to talk about their pasts.
I don't get that.
Both of them had been married before, and they said, we are not going to talk about the past.
Okay.
And that was really interesting. However, having said that, a lot of people want to know what their partner has done sexually. And one of the biggest questions that comes up from men and women is they want to know how many partners.
Sure.
Their partners, how many people have they had sex with?
Mm-hmm.
So here are a few things, and I'm going to be a little bit flippant with this just because I am. the first thing is, just before you ask the question, make sure you really want to know the answer.
Yeah.
Because if it's going to impact on you a lot, then, you know, just make sure you really want to know the answer. The next thing is, everybody has had a past.
I know.
We have all done what the fuck we've done. That's it.
That's what I don't understand. So, anyway,
and it brought us to you. It brought us to our current
partner.
Everything in my life brought me to this moment and to who I am.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want to get stuck in that past, then you're not going to have a relationship in the present.
Mm.
That's really important. And in terms of the question of how many lovers people have had, I wrote a piece quite a long time ago. And if you go to my website, Eros Life, or Facebook page, it's there. And I'm pretty sure it's there under the title, Lessons in Sacred Sex. And the answer is this. A temple is no less holy for the amount of feet that have walked through its doors.
Wow, is that not beautiful, hey?
Amazing.
To explain that,
full stop.
Actually. Wow.
And the rest of it, I think, is totally irrelevant.
Because exactly, because why are you asking the question? Do you want to know if I was a slut?
Yeah.
But that's what you love about me, or that you love me in any way, so what do you want to do? Do you want to? And it's the brain.
Yeah.
The brain wants to degrade.
And the ego.
The ego. So it's like, were they better than me? Or were you a slutty? Like, what do you... It's just judgment.
Do they have more experience?
There's nothing. Yeah. It's
comparing
only self-esteem issues and,
it's just
judgment. So ask yourself first, why are you asking the question?
Yeah. And if you really want to know, then have the discussion.
I did it from insecurities. Yeah. I just wanted to know because I felt insecure. So I was like... You know, and maybe am I going to be as good? And, you know, so I was like, but now I know after walking through a sexual journey, I'm like, don't ask me this question. First of all, I can't answer. And the second thing, I will not put myself in that position of saying, oh, yeah, I had 300 or two or five. You know, it doesn't, what does it matter? It was me and my journey.
And beyond that, when we walk a path, when we do healing work, when we do growth work on ourselves, we change. The person I am today is not the person I was last year.
This year
for me personally has been a year of incredible self-healing and growth and learning, maybe more than ever in my life. And the changes that come from it say, I'm not the person sitting here today that I was a year ago. So you're asking that person the question.
See, from my experience of having asked, you know, my partner that I'm with now, it was more from a point of view that I was able to build an even better friendship. Okay. I mean, I know I might be looking at it very differently from most people, but we were able to laugh about the funniest experiences we had, the things that we were willing to try or not try, or I guess maybe the number is a different thing, but I almost felt like that was just building a tighter bond. Exactly.
And there's no reason that you shouldn't. Just be aware of why you're asking the question and where it's coming from.
And your emotional capability to process.
Because if it's coming from this place of judgment, if it's coming from that I cannot let go of that you've had sex with 30 people or 300 people, that you had orgies, that you did, it doesn't matter what it was. If you cannot let go of that, you cannot have a relationship in the present.
Can I also just quickly say something? Does that not bring into another, or bring in another question where traditionally, you know, if it's a guy, and he's slept with 20, 30, 40, whatever.
He's a stud, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. He's a stud. But if it's a woman...
She's a slut.
She's a slut.
Sure.
I mean, and that is so wrong. And this, we're in the 21st century. Why is that still happening?
Because sex is the part of life that we judge the most. Sex is the part of life that is the hardest for us to deal with.
True.
Sex is the part of life that generally we know the least about. Sex is the part of life that generally has... the most problems.
Dark.
Because the interesting thing is, with all the information that we have about sex, and we live in the age of information, and I heard somebody say, I think it was Joe Dispenza in a talk I was listening to the other day, that ignorance in today's world is a choice, which I really liked. But because of the access of information, the access to information that we have, when we are still ignorant about certain things, it is a simple choice, and sex is the part of life that most people live with that level of ignorance because with all of the information that we have, the amount of women who are still not having orgasms, for example, has not changed significantly.
Yeah. I think it also goes back to moral society and the way they condition us, that women are supposed to be, you know, conservative and ladylike. And so the different, you know, man is strong and he can take control. So then again, even in
sex. I'd like to use the term amoral society.
Or an amoral society. Right.
And yeah, so much of it is like, social conditioning.
You know, having, you know, multiple partners or a lot of sexual partners as a woman, that you don't fit into that, you know, that perfect little box anymore.
And what is very interesting is there's for so long been an idea running around that men actually struggle with monogamy more than women.
Mm.
And it's actually untrue.
I was going to say.
So it's actually one of those things that is, you know, so many myths in terms of sexuality are being disproved so much today.
So much to say about that. Yeah. But
that's another story.
That's an old story.
So listeners sent us a whole lot of really interesting questions that we actually got just a few minutes ago.
Okay.
So, and these are some really interesting things. If you are close to a couple who are serial cheaters, what's the best way of approaching their destructive behavior?
Don't be friends with them anymore. Goodbye. It was lovely meeting you. I don't need shit like that in my life. Get honest or fuck off.
And I think, I mean, when you're defining cheaters, I mean, are they in an open relationship?
No, they're not.
Because they're cheaters.
Okay,
cheaters.
Okay, well, then
open
you're going to have to leave.
An open relationship.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Then walk away.
And there was one more sentence that says, not interfering is not possible.
Okay,
so walking away for this person is not possible.
Shame.
Okay.
Ooh. So first of all, well done for the choice. It's no shame. Everybody can be in a position in their lives that they get to the learning curve, you know? Yeah. I was there. I'm sure most people were there, that they did the wrong thing. They were hiding something. They were cheating. I feel like there is a lot of information that we put our friends in a position that if they know about it, so if they discover it by chance, then it's actually something else. But if we know about it and we just kept on being silenced, that's already making also, it's a good question about you. So I'm in two minds about it. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I will be in a position that I will talk to the person that I know, that he's my friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll speak to them and I'll encourage them to be honest and open, even if it means going to be the end of their relationship. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely, not for the children. And first of all, not to end the relationship, just to be open about it and go for counseling.
And do something
about it. Do something about it, because it never goes anywhere. It never goes anywhere.
So the interesting thing is that when people are doing this, it comes out of something within themselves.
Sure.
We are often attracted to people because of a similar pain that we have.
That's interesting.
A lot of our relationships come because I recognize your pain and I recognize your mask, and it fits into my pain or it fits into my mask in some way. So until we have actually really worked on ourselves, most of the relationships that we have are from a place of pain in some level. And if people are doing this in a serial way, when this person who sent us the question used the term serial cheaters, that's something inside of them.
Not something inside of their partner, but it's just creating an
And all that they're doing is they're feeding that off each other. And if they don't change something within themselves, nothing in their relationship is going to change, because that's about each individual and what they are doing and what's happening in their space. And their relationship is the place that they're playing the dynamic out in. So that is their pain, their hurt, their lack of knowledge, their lack of consciousness, their lack of connection to themselves. So many different things that it could be, and their relationship is the place that it's happening in.
Yeah.
And if they were not in that relationship, until they change that, they're going to be doing the same thing again and again and again.
And I think by doing it again and again, there's also that aspect of excitement or addictiveness that
it's
possibly comes. Addictiveness that you know, you're hiding.
Which is not necessarily excitement.
Is this actually going to come out, or isn't it going to come out? So it does become an addictive thing as well.
And
so you've
what
really
happens
got to deal
is
with
our
yourself.
Bodies become addicted to the feelings that we have.
And the adrenaline that comes with hiding.
And
I
think that that's excitement.
Yeah.
Instead of it's just a chemical rush of something.
Sexologists speak about a blueprint. So Esther Perel speaks about, she's a famous Belgian sexologist, and she speaks about a blueprint. So something that happened in your childhood definitely affected something you've seen, something you've experienced. You're not a serial cheater because you love it. It's nobody's fun to hide information.
No.
It's nobody's fun to being completely dishonest about their lives. It must be some kind of pain.
And that's what I said. Yeah. You're exactly. playing a pain pattern so, out.
Exactly.
And that's the way that it's coming out.
So go see someone.
Yeah. It's important to understand that a lot of what we do sexually or a lot of what comes out in our sexuality doesn't have anything to do with sex.
That's true.
That's yeah. the place that it's expressing.
True.
And a lot of what we do sexually is connected to other parts of our lives that are not always about sex. And yeah. sex is just the arena where a lot of our issues play out. So we need to look at what's underneath that, at what's behind that. And that's really, really important. Mm. So that was an interesting one.
It was. And I feel like, you know, the statistic says every second person cheats. So I don't know. So what does it mean? It means we all do some kind of cheating. Maybe it's fantasy. Mm.
I'll tell you something else that the statistics say. I worked with a guy a while ago who got divorced, and then he did all this research, and he came to see me, and he said one of the things he discovered was that more second marriages end in divorce than first.
Oh.
Now, there's something really simple about that. It's because we don't learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we haven't done the healing. We haven't. Mm-hmm. So all that we are doing is we're taking ourselves – we're putting ourselves and all of our stuff into another relationship.
Just replicating.
That's it. Mm. And very often somebody new comes along and we think they're different because maybe even the package is different. Mm. So the first one was blonde, the second one's redhead. This is going to be different. Mm. It doesn't matter what they are because it's about us and we're putting the same stuff in that situation. So it doesn't matter who's there. We're doing the same thing. So how do you expect it to be different?
Because you're so passionate about this.
But it is.
Growth.
And you know what? It's the core of everything. That every single issue that we have that is mental, that is spiritual, that is psychological, that is sexual, that is financial, if we don't change it, it doesn't matter what we do. And when we change ourselves, so much changes all by itself. And it was my big thing this week that we've been so conditioned. Everything is about healing and life is about lessons and life is about the learning. It's not. It's about the experience. It's about being in the experience and finding meaning in the experience and being grateful for the experience, and the healing happens. When we change ourselves, things change because everything is an expression of who we are. And I look at, especially talking for myself, what I have seen of myself this past year. And I have seen for the first time in my life some of the impact of some of the patterns that I lived with. The hurt that that caused me, the hurt that that caused others. Mm. It's only when we change ourselves that that changes. And when we can change ourselves with pleasure, now listen carefully, everyone, because this is really important. When we can change ourselves with the energy of pleasure, not the energy of pain, we open to the most amazing possibilities. And that is one of the reasons that, firstly, I do what I do. And seeing the power and the possibility of that is so, so beautiful.
Thanks for sharing, John.
Yeah.
So it's really, really, really
power of pleasure. Beautiful. And that, everybody, is where this chapter of the story ends, because the people behind the glass are making all sorts of rude signs with me.
So let me just tell you about my experience. We're sitting here with Brody. And Brody, what did I try last night?
You tried the MSS female tablet.
Yeah, and what my husband tried?
The MSS male tablet?
Yeah, wonderful. So we tried it, and I must say it was a positive experience. It was putting me in a very nice zone of feeling like a bit more sensual. I can't even explain why, but I felt like relaxed. And there was some kind of a feeling of, I don't know, just something good. I can't even explain that, but it kind of made me laid back and relax. He experienced a beautiful, beautiful stimulation, I must say. Very quick.
Wow.
And very beautiful response from me, so I'm very grateful. And then again, the G-spot, I could feel it stimulated. I could feel that I'm ready for squirting without even doing much about it. And I am a squirter, but it does usually need more stimulation.
Wow.
And it definitely made us more intimate, which I was shocked. We actually kissed more. We wanted to touch more. It was really enhancing intimacy, which I didn't think this will happen. So I know it's kind of a good positive feedback, but it's real. We've done this. It was good. One thing, it was a little bit of like discomfort after he said a bit of sinus and stuff, but nothing. It just went away after an hour or two. Can't say anything really bad or, you know, like scary or anything. It was really, really nice, positive experience. I give it thumbs up.
Brilliant.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
We wish you so much pleasure.
Sex Talk is brought to you by Reba Pharmaceutics, your online intimacy store. Follow the hashtag #DiscoverIntimacy for more and check out reber.co.za. That's reber.co.za. CliffCentral.com.